and a lot of polls that have been released in the last few days, taking a look at the national state of things now that Donald Trump has gotten the Republican nomination for president.
What are we coming to? I am sorry.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger joining us here in the studio as well. I don't know what the world is coming to.
So I had to laugh when I saw the commentary saying the problem of this country is not that Donald Trump is running, is that our education system is such that we would educate voters.
Think that this is a good idea? Yeah. Good Lord.
That was pretty
well, I just put what I'm very proud of as a commentary on the whole state of things on chapelboro.com. So everyone out there, head to the website, chapelboro.com. Okay, click on my commentary. It's brilliant. Oh, my God. I've read all week.
Are you modest there?
A little bit modest. Okay. Well, it's about low expectations.
No,
like Donald Trump is like, and the thing with Paul Ryan today that, you know, he's like, well, we've got some points of agreement. So we'll use that as our basis to work forward. It's like, have you heard what Donald Trump has said? It's like none of these are disqualifications because we've got an election to win in November. So we're setting the bar as low as humanly possible.
Oh,
and kind of the same thing with House Bill 2 and everything that the Republicans have been doing in the General Assembly. Well, no, it's totally okay because, see, federal law says sex discrimination and this is sex identity discrimination. So, like, why don't you just have a law that doesn't discriminate on either basis? Wouldn't that be better?
Let's not discriminate on anything. Let's not discriminate.
Or redistricting, like, oh, it's not racial gerrymandering, it's partisan gerrymandering. There's a difference. It's technically not against federal. Like, even if that's true, why don't we just not gerrymander, period? Like, can we set
There's
the bar a little bit
There's
higher?
A thought. Yeah, let's be.
Oh, good Lord.
Let's do it based on math.
Anyway, this just in from the White House. We got this from the Associated Press. Blake Hodge just came in a minute ago. Federal agencies will not be withholding money for North Carolina. This from the White House while a legal fight plays out over House Bill 2. Of course, what are we up to now? Five lawsuits, I think, filed by different people against different people. It's all going to the courts. Courts are going to be deciding whether or not House Bill 2 violates the Civil Rights Act, the Education Amendments of 1972, the Violence Against Women Act, which does specify gender identity. The other two don't, but they say sex discrimination. Anyway, the courts are going to be fighting all of this out. If the courts decide that House Bill 2 does violate federal law, and then the state proceeds to stick with it, that's when our federal funding could be at risk. And what are we up to now? $4 or $5 billion, something like that, when you add it all up.
Oh, it's just awful.
It's
crazy. The number of cancellations we've had even here in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, without even talking about the federal funding.
Really,
like all of the,
where
know.
We welcome everyone.
Yes,
please come.
Yes.
But we've had people pull out. We've had people change their plans. We've had venues cancel. They just don't want to take the risk. They just don't want to be here and be involved in all the hubbub that's going on with this.
Meanwhile, like all of the people that are pulling out are people who are the sort of people who would go to Chapel Hill as opposed to, say, Rockingham. Like Phil Berger is from Rockingham. He goes and makes this law. Rockingham's doing fine. I can't imagine they're losing a lot of money. But Charlotte, Asheville, Greensboro, Chapel Hill, Durham, Raleigh, Wilmington, all of these, like, city centers.
You're more metropolitan areas,
exactly.
Of course. The ones that count on those tourism dollars and want people to come and want to explore new ideas. Companies that want to be here and make use of our talented work pools, they're scared. I mean, they don't want to be involved in all this.
They don't. So anyway, we're not going to lose our federal funding right now.
Okay.
So, again, we cross that bar, everyone.
You'll keep us informed.
Yeah. according to the White House, they just announced that, according to the Associated Press. So, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger joins us here in the studio with a number of items to discuss that have nothing whatsoever to do with House Bill 2. So, let's start with summer road construction.
Yes.
Because there is a lot of it going on.
There'll be so much going on. Yeah. And you can check our website, see what's going on, start and stop dates. But we're just asking everyone to plan a little extra time, think about which way you're going. These are all great improvements, things that have been needed to be done for a while. We have a lot of them going on. There's at least 10 projects this summer going on all over town.
Wow.
We try to do this during the summer seasons when people are you know, taking vacations, school is out. There's a lot less traffic. There's still some traffic, but there'll be some great things for people to look forward to coming back to that we'll be finishing up and ready to go.
And we were talking with Meg McGurk about this last week, and she was trying to get the word out about some of these, especially around Rosemary Street in downtown, and specifically saying saying the town is really trying to get the word out about this this summer, because there's always road construction. This summer there's going to be significantly more than usual, right?
Yes, a lot of projects came to head at the same time. We got a lot of funding that came back through DOT. We have Carolina Square still going on downtown, so it feels like, and we have several other projects, as you know, that are going on, so it just feels like there's a lot of construction too. Last night we had some agreement on trying some pilot programs for helping with the parking situation downtown that's starting this summer. Again, Rosemary Street will have some things being phased along. The street will be open, but it'll be reduced traffic flow. Mm-hmm. So maybe you want to choose other routes to go. We want people to come downtown and check out these projects, because it'll be kind of cool to see some of the things going on.
Yeah.
Rosemary Street is going to get this major facelift.
It's going to look really cool when it's done.
You're going to be able to walk a little easier, too. We're doing a lot with the sidewalks, putting in some trees. The lights are going to be the biggest thing. We're going to have the new LED kind of street lights. It'll be better lit. We're doing some other lighting in other parts of downtown to help add to this vibrancy and make sure people feel safe wherever they're going downtown. And we've got more work to do on that front, but a lot of it happens this summer.
So I'm looking at a list of 13, and I had to print this out in 7-point font because it wouldn't fit on one page otherwise.
It's pretty
incredible.
Unlike
Blake Hodge, who printed out 250 pages earlier today
of
those emails. I like crammed them down into 6 or 5-point font to print it out on one, and then my eyes are terrible. But what are the biggest projects here?
So I think the Rosemary Street rework is going to be one of the bigger ones, and Owasa is going to be replacing the water pipes at the same time, and the AC Hotel will start. So those are the big ones along Rosemary Street that are going on that'll be working together in components there. We are repaving the Friday Center entryway along with UNC, and then there's a couple other UNC projects that are going on with paving over at Raleigh Road, some things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Ephesus Fordham area is getting its work starting this summer. It's already actually started. People have noticed that that's going on. You need a little more time to get through Eastgate if that's the way you're going. Just know that it's going to take you just a little bit longer until this project's finished.
All right.
So that's going on. We're going to start the Estes Drive project this summer with the bike lanes and all that fun stuff.
That's cool.
I'm trying to think of all the different ones. And Charter Woods moving through the motions. The whole Weaver Dairy MLK intersection has got so much going on up there. That's pretty incredible.
That's two big projects underway right now.
Yeah, that's again, it's going to be great once it's all finished up. So those are the main ones, I guess, that I'm trying to think what else. Town Hall, we're going to be renovating half of town, the other half of Town Hall from since the flood and the renovation project. So we have half of our staff moving out over the summer months to temporary housing till we redo the inside and bring them back in. So that'll be going.
I remember every major construction project in town, in Carborough too, for the few years that I've been here, has just been so annoying while it's been going on. Like, I remember when they were redoing Weaver Dairy and putting in that roundabout down at the bottom of the hill. And it was just like, this is going on for 3 years. Like, it was taking forever. And now it's done and the road is 1,000 times better and you forget that it ever happened. And like when 140 West was going in.
Right.
And there wasn't anything there and we had lost the parking lot.
Right. Frustrations.
Like, it's frustrations. But now we've got this great plaza and like the construction on Weaver Street back a couple of years ago and there was all of that consternation. And now Weaver Street is so much better. So we just got to come out the other side of it.
So a lot of pain this summer. Yeah. And then
the good stuff.
Then the good stuff will happen. So when people are coming
back.
It's
like going to the gym, basically, right? So I've been told. I have no actual knowledge on that.
I haven't been there recently.
Okay, so that's going on this summer, and townofchapelhill.org is where you can go to find out more about that. The other big summer project, which we've talked about before, and now we can say more about it, is Food for the Summer, which you've been working on since before day one.
I know. It's just amazing. There's the website's up and going. You can go and register to help.
Yep.
You can donate. We have a wonderful executive director, Katie Hug. Isn't that a great name for director?
That's a good name, yeah.
And we're getting the sites coordinated. We've picked out the sites, just the particulars of each site of where they're going to be. We're going to need 2,500 volunteer spots. I know Chapel Hill's up to this task. You can sign up for more than one time.
Okay.
But every day we'll have two people going to each one of these sites to help take the food that's already prepared, so you don't have to cook. You just have to help transport.
Nice.
And help think of activities to do with the kids if you want. We have some reading partners paired up to go. We'll have some other spike events going on. But it's just really, really exciting. And we're working really hard to get the word out through the school system and through all the different agencies to let the families know that this is going to be available to them during the summertime so that we can get the kids. We feed whatever children show up at these feeding sites. And I'm really excited because when this template works, we can increase it for ourselves next summer and get all the children, but it's a model that maybe the rest of the state can use, and the state's very interested. And UNC has been a great partner as well. They're coming to film about how this is all working so that we can actually use this as a template to feed more kids in North Carolina.
That's awesome. So foodforthesummer.org is the website
Please
if you want to
find out
more.
Check it
out.
It's got a great picture on the front.
Yeah, I saw that. So this begins when? June?
We're going to start the, so school ends the week of June 10th, and we're going to start this on June 13th.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool. So for like you mentioned UNC as being a big partner. I know it's trying to spread this statewide. The one really nice advantage that Chapel Hill has that really no other town does is the fact that we have UNC Chapel Hill here. So are we thinking about ways of making this work in a community that maybe doesn't have that additional?
So creating this template, and they're like I said, they're working on filming the documentary about it and doing the study so that we can actually have this template ready to go, because it's really hard to figure out how to make this happen. Of course, we had that information in our community. Once we pulled everybody to the table, we were able to figure out and strategize how to make it work. And we expanded on a temple that was already being used by the Varsity Church and the school system, and we've just made it bigger and the coordination. And if we have websites and things that people can learn from than other communities, there are some smaller communities that are actually doing this, but they have like 400 kids, and they figured it out with their faith-based system on how to do this. And we can do that. We can make it work for a bigger number. So we're excited about that.
That's awesome. Yeah, again, foodforthesummer.org is the website. So go there, find out more, donate, sign up to volunteer. I'm looking forward to seeing how this works.
If your child needs service learning hours, sign up with them and help do this. We would love to have those teenagers helping out. We want everyone helping out.
Awesome. So speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, other items on the town's list of things to do?
So bring to attention, there's a couple of NCODOT projects that we're doing public information sessions about. One is the roundabout plan for Mount Carmel Church and Bennett Road, across from the fire station there. I don't know if you've seen the horrible accidents that happened there, but this is a, I hope, a welcome opportunity. And then we're looking at the intersection where Merritt Mill Road hits Franklin Street and Main Street. It's kind of a messy Five Points area there. They're just putting information out that they're starting to study that, and also the intersection of Estes and Greensboro Road, which is in Carver, I know, but it affects all of us.
Okay.
So those are the three main projects that DOT, and we're going to be having information out about
those. Merritt Mill, Franklin, would that be a roundabout, or are they just looking
for things to do? They're looking at what they can do, and I don't know if you've taken a look at the intersections. It's kind of, people don't know what to do there.
Yeah, I'm usually, when I'm at that intersection, I'm usually there as a pedestrian. Because I'll take Rosemary to get from one end of downtown to the other. So I don't usually take Franklin. But when I'm there, like I'm crossing, and there's like a lot of pavement that you have to walk across. And the light will turn while you're in the middle of the intersection.
And people don't know. They're not really sure which way is right and left because the roads are kind of angled over there. Yeah. So that's going on. We are continuing on with our cemetery marker meetings. That went really, really well. Mm-hmm. Gathered a lot of good public input. We're now planning a ceremony and what the stone will look like for a dedication program September 18th. So we've been working with the community to do that. And there's more community meetings going on. One this Sunday at 3 at Hargraves. So that part's going to be good. We have the sign ordinance coming up on Monday at our meeting, public hearing about changes to our sign ordinance. It's over 25 years old. It's got some improvements. There was a big community input for making changes to our sign ordinance to reflect more about what's going on in today's world.
These were like business signs?
Yes.
So there were changes to this a few years ago, right?
But it needed overall kind of, it's very hard to navigate. And the council actually talked last night in the work session. We're looking at rewriting the LUMO as a bigger project, not starting tomorrow. We had a whole template from our new planning director, Ben Hitchings, was there to explain timelines and projects that were on the planning and long-term planning, and we're looking towards the future and how to take the steps to get there, not just keep talking about it, but actually take the steps. And so he was able to put the timelines up for us and give council an opportunity to weigh in with priorities. Everyone was pretty insistent that they wanted those Ephesus Fordham design guidelines put in. We're continuing with our work group. I have an ad hoc work group meeting with the chairs of several of our boards and some development partners and some staff, and together we kind of work together to say, this is the intention. How do we get there, and what is reality to make it work? So we're moving forward with those projects as well, and continuing to craft stuff that's still very welcoming for form-based code, yet yields what we'd like to get over in that area or anywhere. Nice. So we were just looking at that, and then attended a Raising Capital in North Carolina symposium. It was really good talking about all the economic development opportunities available. And we heard from an angel investor, someone who did Kickstarter crowdfunding, and how to match companies up with the resources they need. It was fascinating. I was sitting in a conference last week, and it's been said that North Carolina is only second behind Silicon Valley, the Research Triangle Park specifically, in getting venture capital funding.
Nice.
They want to be here. They're not sure how HB2 plays into that.
I was going to say,
Our quality of life is very attractive.
Yes.
It's very expensive.
We still have the resources. We got Google Fiber coming in.
Yes,
so we have
that. We have this talented workforce. That's a big draw. And I think we have a great attitude. HB2 aside.
We have a great attitude. You and I in this room have a great attitude.
No, it's a lot more than that. You'll see. It's no wonder we're a purple state.
Yes.
Anyway, it was just fascinating to hear that North Carolina has this possibility. So let's try not to shoot ourselves in the foot with HB2 and embrace that. And the talk was, we need that commercial space. If you can build it, they will fill it. So I'm still pressing that message. We need that commercial space. We need to get it out of the ground. We've already approved 1.9 million square feet. We need to break ground and get that started so that we can have those innovative companies stay here. We heard from several innovative companies, started at UNC, grew here to about 5 employees, and then had to move away, and they didn't want to move. They wanted to stay right here.
So, all right. Yeah. So all of that going on, speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. And before we let you go, I want to ask about one more potentially crazy bill that's coming from the General Assembly.
Okay.
Still in talks, but it's Senate Bill 868, which is the Sanctuary Cities bill, which is going the bill is to basically to Justice Department the cities, basically. So taking state money away from cities that don't obey immigration
again,
laws,
overruling local control. It even has a part of the bill saying we no longer allow you to do community IDs. Did you see that piece in there?
No.
Because we're doing community IDs here, which has gone really, really well. We have over 600 individuals that have come out to get a community ID, working with our police department and El Centro. People want to have some form of identification. If they can't get a driver's license because of all that, they want a form of identification. It's helpful. You need it for certain things. And so that part of that bill is that we would no longer be allowed to issue those.
What would the town do if that passed?
We haven't had the discussion yet, so I'm hopeful that our town would stand up for its rights and say, you know, I don't understand this whole mode by the legislature, who claims to be from the bent of local control should have local control, and yet they stomp all over that, and then they fuss when the feds do it to them. So it's like, you can't have it both ways. You have to believe one way or the other.
They want themselves to have control.
I guess. I don't know. They have all the answers, by the way. They know how everything should be done in every community, and I don't agree with that. I think, you know, that's one thing I love about our community, and that we are different from Rockingham. Rockingham should be able to govern the way they want to govern. If they want to stand up for HB2 and we want to stand, we should be allowed to have our community. I believe in local control.
And speaking of the sanctuary city policy, this has been on the books ever since last year, a bill at the state level that banned sanctuary cities, and required local police departments to follow along. We spoke with Chris Blue last month at the community forum, and he said, look, our policy hasn't really changed. Yeah. We're still prioritizing other things when it comes to allocating resources, and we've got to make those decisions some way or other.
Yes. These are tough issues, and tough issues in our day and time. It's frustrating sitting here going, you know, we embrace being an open for business, open for people, open for all this. We want to be this open, inclusive community, and that's part of who we are. And it's just really, really frustrating to see the state go down the path of being frightened of what's coming.
You know, it's Senate Bill 868, so we'll keep following that. Still no vote on it yet, but it has been introduced. We've got to let you go, but Pam Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.